Well, good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church, and happy Veterans Day, which is technically tomorrow, but it's going to be Veterans Sunday here for us. I am in the patriotic mood, and we are going to have a patriotic service. And luckily, we are blessed to live in a country where we can do that, where we can be patriotic in our churches. And we can worship God and pledge allegiance to our country in the same place. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord. I am going to do things a little different this morning. We're going to do the announcements just to get those taken care of and out of the way. So the rest of the service is focused on our guest speaker and our patriotic hymns and the sermon, the message that the Lord has given to Fred to bring to us this morning. So Tuesday morning at 9:30, our breakfast group will meet at Jack's on Deerfoot Parkway and Highway 11 in Trustful. Wednesday night Bible study this week, we'll be getting back to Bible study, studying the book of Daniel. Friday night is game night at 6:30 p.m. in the fellowship hall. All are welcome. Bring a game or just sit and chat. We kind of do it all. Coming up in 2 weeks, Operation Christmas Child. Collection day will be November 24th. And I see here we already have an amazing collection of shoeboxes this morning, and we still got 2 more weeks. So I appreciate y'all supporting this ministry. I do have another video for you this morning. You want to go ahead and play it?
This is a journey of the shoebox. We first pack the shoeboxes.
My favorite part is trying to pick out the different items to put in the box.
We write our own message, just pray and think about what do we want this kid to be receiving right now.
When we're done with all the shoeboxes, we gather them together and then pray over them.
After we pray over the shoeboxes, we drop them off at a church that collects them and makes sure that they get to a processing center.
After they take them to the warehouse, volunteers will take them and go through them to make sure that they're safe and okay.
We got a full box on 15!
And then they ship them on planes and boats.
And trucks, canoes, donkeys, it's really cool.
Once they're sent out to communities, to churches, and then those are then distributed to kids of all ages.
Before they get the shoebox, someone tells them about Jesus, the greatest gift. They hear the gospel and pray together. Then they get their shoebox gift.
3, 2, 1!
After the kids receive shoeboxes, they're invited to be discipled and learn more about Christ and his message.
The main goal is to spread the word.
To learn about God and that they know that God loves them. Packing the shoebox, it makes me happy, and I hope that it makes the other kids happy that are getting them. And they are able to experience Jesus' love.
Keep forgetting to mention part of the shoeboxes is The Greatest Journey, and we do have an example of The Greatest Journey, the booklet, the Bible that these children also received back here on our back information table, if you want to take a look at it and just see what it is that they're also getting besides the toys and the gifts in the shoeboxes. Coming up November 30th, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we will be decorating the sanctuary for Advent season. You are more than welcome to come join us and help us. We'll get here 9:30 and just make sure it's all looking Advent in time, preparing our hearts for Advent. The next Harvest Sunday for our Christmas meals will be December the 8th. Our collection box in the back for the Love Lady Center Hygiene Drive is back there. We will continue collecting through the end of the year and then have some changes for next year. And I think, Cindy, you already put that in the email, so next year we will be collecting items for Three Hots and a Cot. So, and we'll get more information about that. Our food pantry, there's a collection box in the back, not only for our Harvest Sunday for the Thanksgiving meals, but also for the normal food that we provide every month. And that's coming up next Monday, not tomorrow, but next Monday. Let's see. Upper rooms are on the back table for you to pick up and use as daily devotions. Our announcements, I mentioned our email that goes out on Fridays. That's how we send out our announcements and our prayer list. If you are not receiving the email and would like to, just let Cindy know, me, or email clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. So today is still in our time of focusing in the 40 days of prayer. And before Brother Fred opens us in prayer, I want to read the verse we've been using, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Brother Fred, open us.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for setting aside. Remember, we're praying like Daniel. 3 times a day. I'm 9, 2, and 4. I'm at 9? No, I'm not. I'm 9, 3, and 9. Aren't I? I mixed up Dr. Pepper and... Okay. But we're glad that you're here this morning. And we're going to begin with our prayer time. Our 40 days of prayer. We've got one more week to be praying. And next Sunday will be Victory Sunday. What a great thought to praise God for all that He's doing and has done because we've prayed. We brought our concerns, our needs, our requests to Him. Several Sundays ago, we had Foot of the Cross Sunday, and we brought our prayer requests and put them in this basket, and we've been praying for them ever since. I want you to stand to your feet. Join me as we pray this morning. If you will and can, just reach out your hands toward these prayer requests with me this morning as we pray. Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, just like the song says, how great thou art. Lord, you're the most wonderful God that anyone could ever have. Magnificent, powerful, all-knowing. Lord, you know our needs, but Lord, we want to make them known to you because you love to hear us and you love to talk with us. And Lord, these prayer requests that are here this morning and those that are in our hearts, Lord, we bring to you today. Lord, we first come to you, Lord, asking for forgiveness of sin, Lord, that we can approach your throne. Lord, may the blood of Jesus cover our sins this morning. And may we be able to open up to heaven to you, to speak to you today on behalf of these souls that we're praying for, Lord. Hear us, O God, this morning. Answer our prayers. But Lord, as Jesus prayed in the garden, not our will, but thine be done. In the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. Be seated.
Well, this morning I'm going to read a little bit from the President's Proclamation on Veterans Day for 2024. Today we honor generations of Americans, veterans, patriots who have stood on the front lines of freedom and kept the light of liberty shining bright around the world. Just as they have kept the ultimate faith in our nation, we must keep ultimate faith in them. Each one of our nation's veterans is a link in a chain of honor that stretches back to our founding days, bound by a sacred oath to support and defend the United States of America. Throughout history, Whenever and wherever the forces of darkness have sought to extinguish the flame of freedom, Americans' veterans have been fighting to keep it burning bright. We owe them a debt of gratitude we can never fully repay. How true that is. We can never repay the debt of the debt of gratitude. But how blessed we are to live in this nation and to live in a nation where we have the freedom to come together in church in the same place to praise our God, to honor our veterans that currently serve and the veterans that have served, keeping our freedom, and also the same place we can pledge allegiance to our country. And we all get to do it of our own accord. We're not made to. We're not forced to. We decide to. So I'm going to do something that we don't normally do in church, but we are going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we're going to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. We all know the first verse, but we're also going to sing the third verse that you don't usually hear, and it's the third verse that has the lyrics that praise the power that hath made us and preserved us a nation, giving thanks to God for the blessing and the honor of living in this country, of serving this country, and of being grateful to those who've made that possible. So if you're able, please stand. We will say Pledge Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's hymn number 760. This morning we are honored to have Richard Marsh with us here this morning. He is from Three Hots in a Cot, and he's going to be talking to us some this morning about what they do, who they are, and hopefully how we can help them. So, Richard, please come.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm 501c3 nonprofit organization created by veterans for veterans. Our mission is to ensure that no veteran is left behind, transforming the lives of homeless veterans from surviving on the streets to thriving in self-sufficiency. We believe every veteran deserves dignity, support, and a chance to rebuild their lives, and we're here to make that happen.
Well, I'd like to start off and tell you how Three Hots came to be, but first I need to tell you about the man that came up with the idea. That was my late brother-in-law, J.D. Simpson. J.D. Simpson was a Navy veteran, and he also was an ordained minister with the Episcopal Church in the Order of St. Francis. So he was a Franciscan friar, which my son and his friend jokingly referred to him as Friar Tuck. So they were living in Indiana with his wife and three children, and he had the opportunity to take his children to go see Barack Obama's inauguration. He said, this is a historical event. It'll be good for the children to see this. So he took them, snow on the ground, and he saw homeless veterans sleeping in alleys underneath park benches on the mall as people were sitting on the benches above them. And it bothered him. He said, it's not right. He said, they've done so much for our country, and we need to do more for them. So he contacted the VA. He asked me, so, you know, what's going on? They're on the street. And the VA said, we don't provide housing. We can provide benefits if they come to us, but the housing has to be done in the private sector. So he decided then and there he was going to do whatever he could. And he went back home, and to tell you how the Lord, when the Lord puts something on you, you're going to do it. He went back home, and the company he was working for went bankrupt, and everybody lost their job. So he decided then and there, okay, I'm going to do something about veteran homelessness. So he contacted the VA again, and they told him, I said, if you want to do the most you can, say, you're familiar with Birmingham, Alabama. He said, yes, I have family there. So Birmingham, Alabama has more homeless veterans than any other city in the country. Now, we don't have the most homeless. We have the most homeless veterans because Birmingham has the best VA hospital in the country. So he contacted my wife, his youngest sister, my wife Joy sitting there, and he told her, I need you to put on some nice church clothes. You're going to have a talk with the VA. You're going to make a presentation. She said, what am I going to say? He said, I'll let you know. So she goes and she has to talk with the VA, and she's the first person to Birmingham to utter the words Three Hots and a Cot. And he came up Three Hots and a Cot because he said, when you're in the military, you get your pay and you're guaranteed three hot meals and a cot to sleep on. 6 months after that, he had the second house. When he got the second house in Clay, it was for sale. He put a bid on the house of $0 because that's what the balance was in the checking account. And he went and explained to them why they would take it. And they did. We got that house in Clay for $0. They paid for the closing. They paid for everything. We can house 19 veterans currently at our Clay location and 9 veterans at our St. Benedict's location. St. Benedict's location in Woodlawn is our first house. It used to be the hospitality house for Grace Episcopal Church. My wife and her friend and J.D. and his family renovated that house that had been sitting empty for many years. And we've had 1,800 veterans have been successfully helped through the program. We've had many others come through the program, but not every veteran's ready for help. They've got their demons they're chasing. But there's been a lot of success. There has been tragedies, but there's been a lot of success stories. I had the pleasure of meeting the first veteran that ever went through the program at Lowe's in Leeds. I was talking to another gentleman there that works there. It's a veteran. And we were talking about Three Hots. And the gentleman walked over, shook my hand. He said, I'm the first veteran that came through Three Hots. I said, really? I said, well, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. He said, I'm head of management for a properties company here in Birmingham. He went from being homeless to being in charge of maintenance company for a properties management company in Birmingham. And we've got our current program director is a graduate of our program. He went from being out of the military to being homeless. His family was disrupted. He went through our program, got his life on track, got his family back on track. He's now our program director. Our house manager, same situation, homeless, ended up breaking up his family, got through the program, got his family straightened out, works for Three Heights now. But one of the best stories is about a gentleman who just finished our program, just bought his first house in Geraldine, Alabama. He got out of the Navy, and he became a correctional officer at the Talladega Federal Institution and federal prison at Talladega. Our house manager at the St. Benedict's house was a veteran, but used to be an inmate at the Talladega facility. He works for Three Heights now. What he went into the penitentiary for was nonviolent crimes. And he paid his debt, and he was homeless, went through our program. He's worked for us for 8 years now. The gentleman that I'm speaking about was homeless on the street in Birmingham. Gordon, our house manager, saw him. He was the correctional officer. Gordon was an inmate, and Gordon knew him. And said, "Boss man," he said, "you're not supposed to be on the street." Gordon took him in and let him sleep on the floor of his room till we got a space for him. And he just finished the program and bought the first house he's ever owned in Geraldine. So we've had 1,800 veterans come through successfully. We had several tragedies. And a lot of veterans, we try, if we can't get them back in society and get them employment here, we at least try to get them home and get them straightened out with their families. But we have current needs, daily needs, we always need paper goods, cleaning supplies, hygiene, toothpaste, deodorant, soaps. Those are everyday needs, along with food, canned goods, meats, lunch meats. We go through a lot of lunch meats. Those are some of our daily needs. But you can go on our website, cotsforvets.org. You can read a little bit more about us. We've got our regular needs listed on that site, and it also tells how to donate and how to help. We're always looking for volunteers, somebody that'll come in and just spend a little bit of time helping the veterans. We've always got a project going on somewhere. So just remember, when you see somebody on the street in Birmingham, there's a good possibility they may be a veteran. Because out of the roughly 3,000 people that we've got that are homeless on the street, about 1,000 of them in Birmingham are veterans. 2% of that are women. And we do have women come through the program. But our program is mostly men, because that's the majority of the homeless veterans. But I am pleased to come up here and speak about it. I'm not a veteran. I couldn't serve. I was born with scoliosis. So I'm going to give back to the veterans that have given so much to me. I'm going to give back to them what I can. And I owe veterans everything. So just, if you would, just add the veterans to your prayers. And add Three Heights to your prayers that we're able to keep doing what we're doing. J.D. told me when he first asked me to get involved, he said, "Now, you know that what the goal of Three Heights is." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "To go out of business." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, when there's no homeless veterans left," he said, "we'll close the doors." And that's our goal, is to go out of business. So I thank you for the time. I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
Well, our next patriotic hymn we're going to sing is 759 in the hymn book. It's America the Beautiful. Reading through the words of this hymn this morning, God, mend thine every flaw. God, shed your grace on thee. Bring us brotherhood. We so desperately need brotherhood again. So may our prayer this morning as we sing this song is to God to mend our flaws and bring us back together. So if you're willing and able, please stand with me as we sing America the Beautiful. Our veterans in our congregation and among our midst today, we thank you for your service, for your willingness to serve, and for all that being a part of our military has done for you. We are grateful.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming, Mr. Marsh. Appreciate the word. Appreciate the work you're doing for veterans in our area. Tomorrow is going to be Veterans Day in our country. Veterans Day 2024. You won't get any mail tomorrow. Okay? No bills coming. Hallelujah. You know? It's a sign time we set apart to remember to celebrate and to honor those men and women who serve our country. I guess we need to do it properly. You need to know what the word veteran means. So what do? I go to the Webster's Dictionary, right? And it says a veteran is someone having extensive exposure in some field. Good definition? It also says someone who has served in their nation's military. I think we can safely assume that anyone who has served in the military has extensive experience in some fields. You know? Probably the field of soldiering, right? And that includes all kinds of stuff, right? Any of you serve, you know what KP is, don't you? Do you realize in 3 years, 9 months, and 2 days, I never served one day at KP. The week that we're supposed to spend at KP when I was at Parris Island, they found out I was a preacher boy and said, "You're going to work for the chaplain." So guess what I did that whole week? I played the piano at the services and I, you know, like I was back home again. If you've been in the military also, you probably know about cleaning services, right? Know what I'm talking about? He takes that quarter and flips it up, and if it doesn't bounce off of that rack, take it apart and redo it, you know. You also probably know about yard maintenance. We had to go out and we had to pick up cigarette butts all over Parris Island, South Carolina. So, I guess, really, you know, it's more than just knowing how to fight to be a part of the military. But you know, what's the sad thing? Many churches today will not honor veterans with this kind of service. And one of the reasons is that today, most churches are not led by pastors who have served in the military. Most pastors I know never served a day, or even know people around them who has been serving in the military. Those of us, we were talking earlier, I'm a baby boomer. And I know about serving. Everybody in my generation knows about serving. We had a thing called the draft back then, didn't we? Every male person in the United States, when you turned, what was it, 18? You went down to the draft board. You signed up. So, these leaders of churches don't understand the depth of emotion associated with being a veteran. You know, some churches don't celebrate it because they feel that celebrating and honoring veterans is like celebrating war. Folks, let me set the record straight. No, no, no. It's not the same thing by any stretch of the imagination. Just think about it. Who celebrates war? What person in their right mind would celebrate war? But as much as we hate war, we should be forever grateful for the young men and the young women who are willing to go to some bad places, be apart from their family for long periods of time, and be willing to die and fight for those that they left back home. Folks, that's why we honor veterans. And on this Veterans Day, it's why we tell them, thank you for keeping us free. Thank you so we can come here today and worship God in the way we want to. It's the reason that so many times when I wear my hat now, David, that I got, you know, y'all told me, I saw y'all's and I had to have one too. So I wear it now, and people have stopped me in the grocery store, stopped me on the street. Thank you for your service. You just don't know how that makes you feel. Because when we got back from Vietnam, folks, we didn't get a thank you. No. Just the opposite. Thank you for your service. It was after the War of Northern Aggression, which some of y'all know as the Civil War, General Sherman gave a commencement address at a military academy. And in that speech, he made the statement, "War is hell." Later, he repeated that, but he added something to it. He said, "War is hell, but soldiers are from heaven. One nation under God, and don't you ever forget it." We're here today, yes, because of soldiers, but we're here today because God has had His hand on us. Even though we do not like, no, we do, we don't celebrate war. God has ordained sending soldiers into battle to defeat evil. Even if it means fighting, even if it means killing. One of the scriptures I wanted to use today is in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Here, soldiers were receiving their instructions. It says, "When you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. And if it responds to the peaceably and opens that city to you, then all the people are found in it shall do forced labor for you and shall serve you. But if it makes no peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it." Take them out, in other words. Our veterans, our young men and women, leave home. And like I said, they go to some terrible places to be surrounded by some terrible people. Yet, they're willing to do so. You spend time remembering your loved ones. You spend time in loneliness. Some folks got homesick for home. I miss the cornbread and peas. But they know that they may be called any moment to give the ultimate sacrifice, to give their very lives, and very willing to do so for the sake of others. You might say, what kind of people do that? What kind of people are willing to do that? In John's Gospel, chapter 15. In fact, let's read verse 12 too, leading up to it. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love," Jesus says, "has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's what serving means. That verse describes a veteran so well. don't like the idea, never looked forward to it. I remember my first day in country. Hey, they're shooting back at me. But the situation demanded it. And today, we celebrate those, we honor those who gave themselves to this country. They deserve our honor. They deserve our remembrance. They deserve our thanks for what they're doing and they have done. They deserve our godly encouragement. They deserve our godly respect. Paul says this about people who are serving the Lord. He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers all the times. And folks, we need to be like Paul. We need to be praying for our veterans. We need to be constantly remembering the sacrifices being made by those young men and women today and those that have served in the past. Now folks, it was not a preacher who gave us the freedom of worship. It was a veteran. It was a veteran who was willing to go to battle to keep us free. Folks, it wasn't a community activist that made our nation great. It was a veteran who stood up in defense of other nations who wanted to run us over. Communism, fascism, that wanted to drive us away. Marxism today. It's a veteran that stood. It was not a lawyer or a politician who gave us the right to vote or keeps our right to vote. It was a veteran who was willing to die if necessary to keep us from losing the precious right to vote. And wow, did we do it on Tuesday. We did it up good, didn't we? Our veterans, folks, have given us so much. But the most precious gift that they give is a part of themselves. And Mr. Marsh, you know how much they give of themselves, don't you? The shape that some of them come back. How can we not honor them? How can we not appreciate them today? Again, Paul in Philippians says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. We need to think about others and not just ourselves, don't we? What others mean to us, especially veterans, part of what we need to do is remember them, pay attention to them. You see, when our founding fathers, when they grew tired of the tyranny that we faced in England, they set out for a new world to worship, to be the people that we are today. So familiar to us is what happened to the Israelites, the tyranny of Egypt. But folks, they were led out to a promised land and we're able to start over again. But the problem that our young America faced was not England. It was not a king, but it was evil in the world. And men and women young boys had to make decisions. Oh, am I going to accept this, or am I going to fight and take a stand? And thanks be unto God, they chose to fight. Those first shots fired at Concord led to a freedom that we never have relinquished since then. Every generation, I never did figure that out. My dad, my two uncles served in World War II. Diane's dad and uncle served in World War II. Fought there. I was a Vietnam baby. You have similar histories to mine. We grew up, folks, in families being patriotic. We grew up loving our country. We grew up honoring that flag. But think about it. Just as the American Revolutionary soldiers went to war, just as the soldiers in World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, they left home. There was a man I know who left home also. He walked this earth for 3 years without a place to call home. He was willing to walk among mankind so that evil would be challenged and ultimately defeated. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. Folks, to all military men and women, to all people who have served, I take my hat off to you. I salute you. I say thank you for your service. But folks, to Jesus, I don't just take my hat off. But I worship Him. I offer Him my very life. Just when I signed on that dotted line, when I enlisted in the Marine Corps back in 1968, well, in 1962, I enlisted in a different army. I didn't sign a page. I just invited a person into my heart and accepted the free gift of salvation that He had to offer. Oh, greater love has no man, no one, I guess we could say there, than to lay down his life for a friend. We remember tomorrow every American that has put that uniform on. We remember their selfless sacrifice. The sacrifice that gave us the freedom that we enjoy and so often take for granted. But folks, I also celebrate every day, not just Veterans Day, not just Christmas and Easter, but I celebrate every day the victories, the accomplishments, the protection that was bought on Calvary's cross for my sin. My sin, my sin. Oh, the blissful thought. My sin, not in part, but in whole, was nailed to that cross. And I bear them no more. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus gave us freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from oppression. Freedom from evil. Persons who serve, their thoughts really are not on themselves. They're on others. They weren't so concerned about their own safety. as they were about keeping the safety here at home. At least that's the way it used to be. And because of that, we need to remember them. We need to thank them. But folks, today we'll be remiss if, along with thanking our veterans for our freedom, we weren't reminded of what Jesus did for us. It was more than all of this. He needs to be exalted. He needs to be praised. He needs to be magnified above all the earth. He needs to be worshiped. And most of all, He needs to be followed. Folks, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to live in a land where I'm free. I'm proud to have served. I'm proud of being a United States Marine. The older I get, the more prouder I get of it, I guess. Is that the word? The prouder I get? Yeah. But folks, I'm the most proud about being able to call myself a Christian. I love my country, but I love my Lord so much more. I realize the value of this earth, of this country, of protecting it. But I realize so much more the land that I'm going to. The one we just talked about in Revelation is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And because of Jesus, we're going to be able to be there. He bought us that ticket. He bought us our freedom. And we can have heaven because of the decisions that we make today. Because of Jesus, we're able to face our tomorrows. You see, He taught us a new way. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "You have heard the law that it says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But Jesus had a different way. He says, "I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Hard to do, right? Very hard to do. But Jesus has a new way. If we follow His way, there'll never be another war. Wars will cease. But today I'm talking about remembering a veteran. Today, I thank God for each person that's a veteran today. I thank God that He laid on your heart to enlist or become a part of the military. We have a number of veterans here in our congregation. And each one of you, I thank you for your service. I want you to stand with me in honor of our veterans today. Of all the things I've done in my life, like I said earlier, one of the most things I'm most proud of is having served this country. Today, let's remember those who over 200 years ago made it possible for us to be a country. And down through the years, those who served. Let's remember those who are serving right today, putting themselves in harm's way for you and for me. Let's remember those who walk among us, Oh, don't ever let a veteran be homeless. We want to put you out of business, don't we? Amen. And thank God for His guidance, His leadership. Because like I said earlier, without Him, we wouldn't be here today. It's God's hand being on America. You think I didn't think about God those 13 months under fire? He was with me all the time. Every moment. Let's pray. Father, today we remember those who had courage to stand. Had courage to take a weapon and fight for this freedom that we enjoy today. Thank you for each one who served. Thank you for those who are serving today. Protect them, Lord. Be with them. Let them know that you are near. And Father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus. He fought the fight that could only be fought by Him, because He was the only perfect, sinless sacrifice for my sins and the sins of the world. Thank you, God, that you were willing to send your only Son to walk this earth and to fight evil in this world. Be with us today. Go with us from this place. And Lord, we thank you again for this country that we have, that we can come together today without worry, without fear, and worship you as our Lord and as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we'll sing? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's come pray for our food people, the people who are going to receive these food baskets. Come and join me. And then we'll go back to our seats and sing together. God bless America. I guess I could have had y'all just hold out your hands up here rather than making you walk. Exercise is good for us. Do as I say, not as I do. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the families who are going to receive these gifts of love for the holidays. Lord, we don't want to just fill a stomach, but we want to save a soul. By showing our love and our care for them, Lord, may they come to know Jesus, if they don't already, as their Lord and as their Savior. Bless these families, Lord, that they'll be grateful and thankful to you, because every good and perfect gift we know comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us, that we may be able to bless others by our giving. And all of God's people said together, amen. Go back to your seats.
Well, we're going to close our service by singing God Bless America. It's not in our hymnal, so don't have a page number. The words will be on the screen. But as I was thinking about asking for God to bless us, it's not so that we're blessed, but it's so that we can bless others through the blessings that God gives us. So may God bless us as He blesses the world.
God bless America. Lord, with all God bless America, my home sweet home.
Go in that love today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.